One of the things that God's children get caught up in is bondages. Bondages. Did you ever see a dog tied to a tree or a pole? Can't go too far, can it? Usually there's something that the dog does that brings it into this bondage, tied up because of either mistrust or disobedience or something that the dog has done. You know, you get a new puppy in your house and you come home and it eats your shoes up. You realize that you need to put the dog somewhere else where it can't get to your shoes. So what you do is you bring it into bondage somewhere so that it can only go so far. And bondage in the spirit to God's children only allows them to go so far until the bondage is broken. And it's real easy to get caught up in bondage. Real easy. People get caught up in religion, they get caught up in the affairs and the things of the world, and they become bound again. And I want to go through the Word, bring understanding about this bondage that God is trying to release us from and bring us back into the freedom of His Spirit. Because that's where freedom is. Amen? Would you turn to Exodus 2? Hallelujah. Exodus 2. Isn't it wonderful to be in God's presence? Oh, glory. I knew that second song threw you, coming a few of you off a little bit, but it's okay. Glory. Change is good. And God likes to bring change. In Exodus 2, in verse 23. Is everybody there? Quick, simple teaching. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Now this is when the Jews were in bondage. They were in Egypt. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. And they what? Cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. The first thing they did was what? Cried out. You never approach the Lord and say, okay, Lord, free me. Hallelujah. You come to Him with a humble heart and you cry out to where He's the only one that can for you because He is. In verse 24, so God heard their groaning and God remembered His what? Covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. See, God remembered His covenant. Well, we have a covenant, don't we? That covenant releases you from bondages. It's a remembrance that God holds because He sent His Son for me and you to walk in total freedom. So that freedom of bondage is always there available for me and you. Always. Freedom from debt. That's bondage. You know how many people get themselves in debt? Whew. And then they end up serving money instead of God. That's a bondage. The devil loves to bring me and you in bondage, especially believers. The world is already in bondage. Now he's trying to bring the believer back into the bondage. And God's trying to set the believer from the bondage. Amen? In Exodus 13. Hallelujah. Exodus 13. Verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land, the Canaanites, as He swore to you and your fathers, and give it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. So what God was asking was for something, wasn't He? Why? Because He just freed them. This was something He was telling them was going to keep them free, and was known as blood. The blood of the animals at that time was going to keep them free. Because it was a part of His covenant. Does everybody understand that? But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So shall it be, when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Out of the what? House of bondage. Now Egypt means world. Egypt is a representation of world order. World rule. Under the rule of world. And who's the ruler of the world? Satan. Everybody get it? So when you and I were born, we were born in the house of bondage. Everybody get it? We were bound. Our father was not the father of heaven. Our father was the father of hell until we became born again. Thank God. Thank God for born again. Thank God for redemption. Thank God. But of course, we know that there is an age of accountability. That's why children, when they die, go home. There is an age. In John 8. So the Lord is, we are in the promised land right now in freedom. And we want to stay out of the house of bondage. In John chapter 8. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is everybody there? John chapter 8. In verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you got to understand something. He wasn't not only talking of the written word. He was talking about his voice. Does everybody get it? He wasn't just talking about his word, because his voice is his word also, isn't it? If you abide in my word, if you abide in my voice, if you listen to me, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what?
Free.
And maintain your freedom. See, there's a lot of people that know the word, but they're not free. I mean, some of them even abide in this word, and they're still not free. They're still bound. Remember I shared before, the word can't save you, only if you're obedient to it. The word can't save you, only when you walk it. But as you begin to abide, not only in his word, but in his voice, you will walk in freedom. Because the author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And you've got to know what he's telling you so you know the truth. Does everybody get it? And the truth will make you free. In John 14. Hallelujah. In John 14, in verse 6. Let's read this together. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. I want you to understand something, that Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life is the basis of everything. Everything. See, because if you're not walking in the way and knowing the truth, you're not going to life. If one of those get out of way, you're headed towards death. Either you're walking in the way, knowing the truth, you're leading to life. If you're not walking in the way, then you're obviously not knowing the truth and you're leading to death. And all things, everything is based on that. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who abides in my way, in my truth, will have life. He who does not abide in my way, in my truth, will not have life. Every decision you and I make every day is either leading to life or death. Does everybody get it? Everything that you and I do in the basis of Christ, who is the creator of all things, nothing was created that was, except for with him and through him. So if he is the creator of all things, then all things are based on way, truth, and life. Does everybody get it? Every single thing is based on way, truth, and life. If you don't know way, you can't abide in the truth, you're not headed toward life. Every decision that you and I make every single day and everything is either leading to life or to death. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. In John 16, simple teaching. In verse 7, John 16 and verse 7, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the what? Truth. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has got to tell him, listen, I'm telling you the truth. It is to your what? Advantage. That I go away, for if I do not go away, the what? Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me or they do not follow me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? Because they did not have the Spirit. However, when he, the what? Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Who? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let me explain something. The Spirit of truth. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? The Bible says that God is Spirit, isn't he? So without relationship in the Spirit, you don't know him. Is everybody with me? Because he is Spirit. You cannot have a carnal relationship with God Almighty, who is the Spirit. You'll bring shame to the name of the Lord, and you'll go up and down by what you feel, what you think, and what you see. Well, I just don't feel. You got a carnal relationship with the King of Glory, who's Spirit. When you get saved, you go to the Word to get to the Father. After you are saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you now go to the Spirit who confirms His Word. So many people are looking for your daddy in the Word of God. When you go to your daddy and he confirms who he is in his Word. Does everybody understand that? I'm going to explain this to you. Go to John 5. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 39. Somewhere around there. Let's start at verse 37. Hallelujah. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor have seen him, his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the what? Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Now, get this. He's rebuking the Pharisees who know the Word. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Jesus is saying, these Scriptures testify of me, but you search in them thinking that you have eternal life. Look at the next verse. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have it. Oh, to God be the glory. Lord, open ears and eyes and hearts tonight. People are still going to the Word to find their daddy instead of going in the Spirit and Him bringing them to confirm who He is. Oh God, where are you? The Bible tells us in Ezekiel that in the latter days He will pour out His Spirit. He will give us a new Spirit and put His Spirit in us, and He'll put His law in our minds. Let me explain to you something. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I did not know the Word of God, but I knew the Word of God. Does everybody get it? I did not know the Word of God, but I knew the Word of God. I had a relationship in the Spirit, not in the Word. And as I had the relationship in the Spirit, my Father would bring me to the Word, and I would know more who He was. See, I can go to the Word and know all about Him, but only in the Spirit can I know Him. And that's what brings people into bondage. They keep going to the Word to try and find their daddy when they need to get in the Spirit and touch Him. And then He confirms His Word. Two ways you get in the Spirit: praise and worship, and praying in tongues. 2 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah. You know, I just went through a dilemma. Well, I would say a trial. Now, let me share something with you. There's a difference between a trial and bondage. You don't get in bondage because you're going through a trial. You can end up into bondage if you allow the devil to do that. But the trying of your patience is for the purifying and perfecting of the man in you. The Bible says, count it all joy as you go through your trials. But there's a difference between a trial and a bondage.
Amen.
Does everybody get it? A bondage binds you to the things of the world under the authority of Satan. A trial means you're just being tried. So when somebody says, man, I'm going through some stuff, doesn't mean they're bound. Hallelujah. Where did I say to go? 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. In verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. I think it's verse 1. Yes. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are the epistle of Christ. Now, Christ means what? Anointed one. And his anointing. Anointed one. Jesus was known as Jesus till he became the Christ. He became the Christ in the day he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He never went around proclaiming he was the Christ until the day the dove came on him. And then you'll notice that in the New Testament it says Christ Jesus, because now it's anointed word. Does everybody get it? Okay. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. We have such trust through the anointing of God. Why? Because the anointing is a representation of Jesus was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? So the anointing is a representation of the Christ, the Holy Spirit. I mean, who was Jesus' Father? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary. Hallelujah. And verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Here we go back to the covenant. Some of the Jews were crying out, and the Lord remembered his what? Covenant. And he set them out of bondage. And how did he set them out of bondage? He said, listen, this is how you're going to stay out of bondage, through the blood of those sacrifices I told you about. But we know Jesus is the eternal sacrifice now. For me and you, who also has made us as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit brings what? Oh, to God be the glory. Bondage. People are bound by the letter and get bound into religion, and the Spirit is trying to bring them life. Only the Spirit of God brings the letter life. So everybody get it? You go to the letter. Without the Spirit, you become bound. Is everybody with me? You go to the letter without the Spirit, you become bound. Then you come back under the law. Then you walk around thinking, well, let's see, I didn't use today, I didn't drink today, I didn't fornicate today, I didn't do this today, I didn't do that today, I must be all right. No, you're not. No relationship in the Spirit. Because the letter killeth. If the Bible says the letter killeth, the saying what he does, the letter will bring you into bondage without the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, you surely must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. He didn't say, just eat of my flesh and go ahead. The flesh is the letter. The blood is the Spirit. Is everybody with me? Okay, let's go a little further. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So you must understand that the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit, not the letter. The first thing Jesus preached when he came out of the wilderness and went into the synagogue, the first words out of his mouth was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's still preaching the same thing. Jesus is always trying to direct everyone that comes to him to the Spirit. Because the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. Come on now. If the Spirit brings me and you to truth, then why are there so many denominations? Then why are there people who are believers still bound? I've been a believer 30 years. I go to church every week. I know the Word of God. Thus says the Lord. And their cell phone rings. Yeah, honey. Well, you idiot. This, that, whatever. Good fruit. Good fruit. Hey, let's go out and have a drink, you know, right after church. Let's go out and do this. Let's go. Things of the world. The Bible says a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Why? Because the ruler of the world. Hallelujah. Going a little further. Verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more. Does everybody get it? Much more in glory. In verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. And he's talking about the ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were what? Their minds were what? Blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil was taken away in what? Now wait a minute, let's back up a little bit. What's Christ? The anointing. So does the veil come off when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? No. Not until you're filled with the Spirit of God and baptized. That's why people misinterpret what the Word says. They receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they don't do part two by getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Then they go out and start preaching the Word, and it's in error. Because they don't have the Spirit of truth. And He doesn't leave them the truth. They have no relationship with the Spirit of truth. Then they go out and they start bringing people into bondages, and they preach, and you know, Paul warned us, he said, that many will come out and preach the same gospel, but another Jesus. Because my Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and leads everybody to the Spirit. Hallelujah. In verse 15, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, wait a minute. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. How is he going to tell you who the Lord is? Come on, go to the next part. Let's read verse 17 together. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom from bondage. That's why people are bound, walking in the letter, bound to religion. It's the worst thing there is. It's easier to get off drugs and alcohol than it is to get out of religion. One of the hardest things is to get loose from the things that we've been taught, relying on those things. One of the hardest things. But if you're truly willing to do whatever it takes and seek the Lord in the Spirit, if you're truly seeking the truth, you're going to find it. And you're going to find it, and part two is going to happen. You're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to get the language that brings you into the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the what? Do you understand? That's why people aren't being transformed in the Spirit, because they reject what the Spirit is doing. Well, I know this. Come on, I go to Bible study. I do this, I do that. There's a lot of I there. Like I shared, I was going through a dilemma. The devil was trying to beat me up. I got offended and hurt. But to God be the glory, I'll tell you what kept me going. Was standing on the truth, praying in the Holy Ghost. Every time the devil would try and bring me down and bring me to another area, I'd start praying in the Holy Spirit, and I'd get back in the Spirit, and I'd stand on the rock of the truth and the promises that my Father has given me, because He's a covenant-keeping God, and you maintain covenant by being in the Spirit. See, the covenant-keeper is the Holy Ghost. He's the covenant-keeper is the Holy Spirit. It's when we lose relationship with the Holy Spirit and we go to the letter that we become bound again. And we go through our rituals. Go to church. I better go to church. I'll be saved. No, you better get in the Spirit and get worshiping. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, let's back up a little bit. Well, the Bible says that the veil comes off in Christ, right? I'm going to give you an example. Go to Act 9. Precept upon precept and line upon line, the Word always backs itself up in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's use that wonderful example. Acts 9, in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, in verse 2, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the what? Ah, oh, isn't that something? They acknowledge them as the way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He acknowledged him, didn't he? Now watch. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, and it's hard for you to kick against the goad. Whoa, you're Jesus. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. He received them, didn't he? He acknowledged them as Lord, didn't he? You think Saul was saved now? Amen. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So you got to understand something. Saul was bound by religion. He actually was out killing, thinking he was doing it for God, when he was coming against his own law that says, thou shalt not kill. I mean, aren't they the ones that murdered Jesus? Now something happened to Saul. And the men who had journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Wait a minute, his eyes were open. He was blinded. The scales were there. He had scales on his eyes. But he received the Lord, didn't he? So the scales weren't removed yet. It was an example for me and you. What happened to him? Watch. Let's see. In verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who are on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know why? Because he was bound by religion and God frees him. And he's willing to go do whatever it takes. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Does everybody get it? The baptism of the Holy Spirit removes the scale. That's why people can't understand the word, because it's written in the Spirit. Then they take it out of context. Then they preach all kinds of things and put people in bondage. Okay, sure. That's why there's denominations. There wouldn't be denominations. Then you run up to people and they say, hey, man, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? You know the Lord? Yeah, I'm a whatever. You are? I'm a Christian. Well, man, I've been going to... That's nice. I'm still a Christian. It's a shame when people put the denomination before Christian because they're bound. Hallelujah. Well, we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom. Freedom from drugs. Freedom from alcohol. Freedom from debt. Freedom. Freedom in the Spirit to worship Him. Freedom. No bondage of religion. No, you go in the Spirit to get the confirmation of the Word and you have freedom. The problem is there's no fellowship with the Spirit. People still want to serve God the way they want. And it ain't going to work. We either going to serve Him in the Spirit or you're not going to end up serving Him. You'll always bring shame to the name of the Lord. Amen? Check it. Oh, hallelujah. All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Everybody all right? Come on, we need to have this. Because when we pray tonight, for those that are in any bondages whatsoever, you're going to be free. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because the truth makes you free, doesn't it? Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord is here. He's just waiting. He's building your faith up for you to receive so He can free you. So we stop rejecting. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked. Wow. That means that people are being bound, aren't they? The Lord is trying to say, come on, don't go back into bondage now. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? The Bible tells us bad company corrupts good habits. So many people go and try and rescue. After they get saved, they go and try and rescue all kinds of people. They end up in bondage. And people go back to crack houses and try and rescue people that they just been freed up and they end up staying in the crack house. Yeah, man, I'm going to go rescue my old friend, man. Yeah, I'm going to go down there. Next thing you know, they're still in there. And somebody's going to go rescue that person. And next thing you know, you're going to have a house is filled. And they were all believers. Yeah, my friend's down at the bar. Yeah, I'm an ex-alcoholic. I'll just go down there. Yeah, I've just been saved, but I can... Right, and the person stays there. That's why they call it, what? Food and spirits. They aren't kidding. Food and spirits. It's just might as well make it simple. Food and cups of demons. You think people would fill in there then? No way. What they want to do? Hide the truth. Come on, and get filled with a demon. Praise God. Yeah, I'm a believer, but I can drink every once in a while. I'm just a weekend drinker. Mm-mm. You're broken covenant. That's broken covenant. No promises are available for you. Anyone who practices sorcery, which means drugs, that's broken covenant. There's no promises for you. You die, you go to hell. Well, I never heard that before. Well, look in Galatians 5:19. It tells you the works of the flesh. Anyone who practices such things will not enter the kingdom of God. I wouldn't want to be drunk when the Lord comes. You won't go. Or have dope in your pocket. You won't go. Or be in bed with somebody you shouldn't be. You ain't going. And if you die, you're going to hell. Okay. Please turn the tape over. You didn't miss anything. You can get a tape. 2 Corinthians. 6 what now? Whoa, we're still there? Praise God. All right. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Hallelujah. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if. If what? If you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, when you touch something unclean, you've now gone out of the way. When you touch something unclean, you're now out of the way. Because something unclean is not of the truth, is it? That means you're leading to death. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let me start this over again over here. Therefore, for if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the what? Spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear or reverence to God. Let's cleanse ourselves. In other words, cleanse ourselves. By repentance, washing of the blood, and getting back in the Spirit. So if you touch something unclean, it's going to always lead to death. You know how many people build on the things that they've been delivered from? The Bible says if you build on things you've been delivered from, it's an abomination to God. You know how many people fall from picking up one cigarette? It's a demon. And he comes right in. The next thing you know, you're back right where you were before. Especially people who've been involved in drugs. It only takes one cigarette. One cigarette. Why? Now you've touched an unclean thing. It's called an accursed item. Unclean things are accursed items. And then we become an accursed individual. It only takes one thing. That's when you got to get rid of it quickly, repent, and don't touch it again. People are still trying to get free, still trying to do this, still trying to do that, but won't let go of certain things. Until you're willing to get into the Spirit and say, listen, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, and stay there and stay in the Spirit, because the devil's going to move you out of position. He's always trying to push us out of the Spirit. How many people go back to relationships that, now that, oh, I'm saved now. Wow. Now I know the truth. I can go back to this relationship and try and save that individual. You know what they end up doing? Fornicating and breaking covenant. Why? They've gone back unevenly yoked. Unevenly yoked. You must allow the Lord to build the house and not us. God must build the house, not us. And He builds the house as you pray in the Holy Ghost. He builds the house as you praise and worship the Lord and stay in the Spirit. Your job or my job is to stay in the Spirit. He does the building. Once you get out of the Spirit, you want to start doing the building. Then you end up building with straw and blocks and unclean things. Then we try and justify. Well, Lord, I was just trying to do your work. No, you were doing your work. I didn't ask you to do that. God never interrupts Himself. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Galatians, or let's go to Genesis 3. Talk about touch unclean things. Touching unclean things. You know, the Lord says if you come out from among them and don't touch an unclean thing. Genesis 3. Is everybody there? Okay, that clock only says 5 to 9. Praise God. Glory to God. Nobody's in a rush, right? Yeah, some of us need to get freed from bondages tonight. Are you willing to do it? I remember one time I got a ticket, a driving ticket. The guy said I was driving reckless. I was in a 46 Chrysler limo. You couldn't drive reckless. But anyway, so I went to court. And all of these people were going up before me. I said, Lord, is this a part of that long suffering? You know what He said to me? Yes. I said, okay. I mean, there wasn't maybe two people left in this whole place that was jammed. I thought, man, if I at least went in alphabetical order, I'd be all right. But God's got a way of killing us. So I had to sit there through the whole thing. And when I got up there, the officer didn't show up. And the judge said, you don't have to say anything. Okay. If I would have said something, I'd probably exaggerate it anyways, right? Well, you know, I wasn't trying to justify myself. So the Lord made way for the officer, for the judge to tell me, be quiet. Because obviously you're not going to plead guilty. And I left. But it was a part of that long suffering. But I was willing to do whatever it took. I could have left and just gone and paid it. Could have got fed up and said, nah, I ain't going, I forget it. But you gotta break through. You gotta be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And if you are, you'll walk in freedom.
Freedom.
Oh, there's nothing greater than freedom. Come on. You know how many people are in jail that are not in jail? We minister to many people in jail. They're not in jail. The people that are out of jail are in jail. They're the ones that need to be in jail. Most of the ones that are in jail are free. But then some of them, you know, we have a, we minister in the jail. And I'm telling you, there is people who have come through our discipleship house and left. People that we've ministered to in other places, and they wouldn't fulfill what God asked them to do. You know what? They're back in my classes. Always come back. I mean, I can almost take two handfuls of guys back in my class right now in jail. Blows my mind. They're coming from everywhere. You know why? Because it's getting harder out there. It is not going to get easier to walk a walk right before God. It's going to get harder, and He's allowing it to happen because He's drawing His people. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So if you think it's hard now, it's going to get a lot harder. So you better get in the Spirit as quick as possible and stay there. And you better do whatever you can to get in the Spirit and be willing to do it. Hallelujah. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So he's more cunning than any beast. Well, see, let me tell you something. If you're not in the Spirit, then you don't know the things that are getting ready to happen, do you? And if you're not in the Spirit, even if you don't know the things that are getting ready to happen, you won't maintain that comfort from the Comforter. You'll be thrown right out. Because the devil knows exactly how to move and push your buttons. He knows exactly how to sway you in a wonderful way. I mean, he just doesn't come up to you and say, hi, I'm the devil. Would you bite this bait? He lays it before you, and you don't even know it's there. So the hook is already in your jaw. Then you're out swimming around, and you're establishing. Oh, you're back with your family and your kids and all this wonderful. And you got a good job, and that hook is still in your jaw. See, he's just waiting for you to build, so he can bring such shame to the name of the Lord. Got a good job, new car, all of these wonderful things. Oh, you're praising God. You're thanking Him for everything He's done. People are looking at you going, yeah, you're blessed. And more people are coming around going, man, you're really blessed. Yeah, look what the Lord has done. And then you begin to max out. Next thing you know, you fall. And you bring shame to the name of the Lord, to a multitude. The devil just used you to minister for Him. Come on, we've all seen it. We see it happening to brothers and sisters. We see it happening to families. Things going great. People get bound by the letter again, not going in the Spirit. And then the next thing, you know, poof. Did you ever see people go bass fishing and use those shiners? The bass swallows the fish. He's cruising around, waving to everybody, saying, man, I got a full stomach. And then all of a sudden, poof, he's gone. Filleted. Filleted. Filleted by Satan is not a good thing. Now the serpent was the most cunning beast God created. Hallelujah. Amen? All right, now where am I? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you what? Touch it, lest you die. Whoa. Why? Because if you touch something unclean, it's not of the truth, and it's not of the way, and it's going to lead to death. You can touch things in your mind that are unclean, and it's going to lead to death. So you can touch things in the Spirit now that will lead to death. In Galatians 2. So what's the devil trying to do? Bring you back into the world? Bring you back in bondage? Bring us back into... And then, if you're able to stay out of the world, he'll bring you into the bondage of the letter. That's his job. Hallelujah. Galatians 3. all the blood of Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3, hallelujah. You know, how many times does the devil paint a picture in your mind, in your imagination? Did you ever hear somebody tell you something about somebody? And man, does that paint a picture? Whoa! And you begin to follow that picture, right? And the next thing you know, the paintbrush is in your hand. And now you're helping the devil paint that picture by the things you're speaking. The next thing you know, you finally get to that person or you get to that circumstance or whatever it may be. The devil's telling you all kinds of stuff. And you find out it's nothing near what the devil said. People get worried about jobs. They get worried. And the devil loves to bring us into the bondage of fear and worry. Because he's telling us, oh man, you're never going to get out of debt. You're never going to do this. Oh, especially tithing. Now let me explain this. Tithing. Whoa. You know what? That's one of the open doors of the devil. Because the Bible says he who trusts in man becomes accursed. That means you're trusting in your own self. But he who trusts in the Lord is blessed. I see people fall from not tithing. Well, you know, my bills are, I can't make my bills. Well, who's supplying the seed for you anyways? You or God? People fall from tithing. It's an open door to the devil from not tithing. Why? Because he tells you now you can trust in you, not him, not the Lord. You know what? When I can't make my bills, I write an offering check. Right? Babe, we can't make the bills. Give me the checkbook. I'll show that varmint. I'm trusting in my daddy. I'll write that check. Here. With joy. Hallelujah. Why? I'm waiting for the cash to come from somewhere. It's coming. One day the Lord told me to go to this, to write a $1,000 check. I said, what? $1,000 check to a ministry. I said, I don't know the address. He said, he'll be at morning breakfast at the Full Gospel Business Night. So I went there, brought a blank check. Almost halfway through, I said, well, Lord, I guess I missed you. The man comes walking in. I said, woo. So I joyfully said, okay, great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Gave it pleasingly. Friday, that Monday, somebody came by my house and gave me a $4,700, $4,900 check. I said, man, the Lord told me to come and bring you this money. I said, praise you, Lord. Let's do that some more. Tithing. You don't tithe. You're disobedient to God. You're not abiding in the Word. Now, obviously, if you're not abiding in the Word because the Spirit is bringing you into the Word, then you're not abiding in the Spirit, and it's an open door to the devil to you. Oh, you know, I just got to... So what? What can you and I do that God can't? What God is trying to do is bring something to me and you in the Spirit so He can bless your socks off, see? Don't hit one on the other one either. Hallelujah. Where are we? Galatians 2, and verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. This is Paul. With Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation. How do you get revelation? In the Spirit. And communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of the reputation, lest any means I might run and had not run, or had not run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. In other words, they were trying to bring him, saying, come on, man, you need to get circumcised. Titus is going, no, I don't. I'm free in the Spirit. He ain't bringing me under no law. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now let me explain something. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. There are certain denominations that will try and bring you into bondage. Now, I'm not against denominations, because there's a lot of Spirit-filled denominations too. And even the ones that are part bondage denominations, some of them are Spirit-filled. No. I guess I shouldn't use the word denomination. It's the only thing I know how to express. But there are certain things that will bring us into bondage. And what are they trying to do? Bring us under the law. There are things, organizations that say if you don't go to church on Saturday, you're going to hell. That's plumb ridiculous. There are certain things saying that if you don't do this, you don't do that, you're going to hell. That's trying to bring people into the bondage. And if you go back under the law of bondage, you get set free from the bondage of grace. And I'd rather be bound to grace than bound to the law. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. A couple more scriptures. Romans 8. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 14. Oh, let's wait a minute here. Let's go to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you will what? In other words, the ways of the world, isn't it? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, and God sees you as His son, because you're not touching unclean things. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. So there were those who were walking right and in freedom in the Spirit, and then walked out and got in the spirit of bondage again, didn't they? But you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father means daddy. Abba means daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, the anointed and the anointee. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So we do not have the spirit of bondage again. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. Glory to God. Simple teaching. 2 Peter 2. Is everybody there? Okay. Verse 15. He's talking about those who have forsaken or backslid. It says in verse 15, they have forsaken the right way, haven't they? And gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with him with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit's made way of escape for those who've been living in error. Now there's a spirit of error, or the spirit of truth. While they promise them liberty or freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Bondage. Let's go on. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the what? World, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So he's saying these believers were spirit-filled, now got themselves entangled again in the affairs of the world, the bondages of the world, it's going to be worse than before. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true prophet, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing, in the myrrh. Don't return to your own vomit. In other words, don't build on the things that God has delivered you from. Don't go back and build on those things, because you will not escape the snare of the devil. Well, I can just pick this up for a little while. No, you're gone. Is everybody with me? Why is this so important? Because God is watching His children get brought back into bondage again, not being in the Spirit, not willing to let go. See, people run to the world, the ways of the world, to get fulfillment instead of to the Spirit to get fulfillment. So if you're getting satisfaction by drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it may be, lust, pornography, you're under the rule of the world. Oh, you may be, you can get saved, you know, you can get saved, but you're not going to be a very good witness, and you won't have any rewards. Eventually, you're going to be taken out. Many of those are on deathbeds now with cancer, sickness, disease, so they can be saved. So they can be saved. Paul said it'd be better to turn them over to the flesh that their spirit or their soul can be saved. Isaiah 10. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is everybody all right? Everybody getting it? About time to buckle down and get serious with the King of Glory? And verse 27. Let's all read this together. It shall come to pass in that day, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Whatever bondage you may be in, it's only the anointing of the Holy Spirit that frees you. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that frees you. That's why people read the word, 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 and they can't get free. Because it tells us about the truth, doesn't it? The Word is the truth. But if they were obeying the truth, the Bible says we're to worship God in truth and spirit. The Bible says that you're to sing a joyful song. The Bible says that you're during your attack that you're supposed to lift up a song of deliverance. Why? Because the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And when the Lord shows up, freedom comes. Freedom comes. I think that's enough. I think we got the point. I think we got the understanding. No more bondages. No more touching unclean things. You know, I remember after I got saved, if I wasn't right, if I wasn't prayed up, I wouldn't go out. I wouldn't leave my house. If I wasn't right, I wouldn't go out. I ain't going back. I'll stay right in this house until I'm prayed up. Why? I respected Satan. Not honored him, but I respect who he is. People think, well, Satan can't do nothing with me, right? Because he's in you. And he's running your life. You better respect what the Lord says is the most cunning beast, or he'll wipe you out. He didn't say that in the Word for us just to fly by it. He told us he was the most cunning beast because we must be aware of his tactics. We must be aware. And you'll be aware by getting in the Spirit and know. And even when you don't know, the Bible says he ambushes your enemy as you praise and worship God. He'll snare the devil for you. He'll make a way of escape by getting in the Spirit. It's time that we let the Lord build the house in the Spirit instead of us. So let's stop touching the unclean things and let's get the accursed things out of our homes, whatever it may be. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father, for your Word.